I know, based upon my communication with him over time, that he would have been happy to be part of this process, but couldn't be. I remember Harold Hoyt today.
Wow, yes.
I really do. And I have no doubt that he would be delighted at the kind of exercise of democracy that Barbados has been involved in. And I certainly continue to wish him a speedy recovery and all the best.
In the name of Jesus, I'm sure that he has a smile on his face, most definitely. But last, I would really like to say to the people of Barbados, the behavior that was exhibited even last night into this morning was extremely, extremely well, I don't even know the appropriate words to use there, because it was like people were just in such jubilation. They were just dancing and having fun. It didn't matter who bounced, who mashed, who. People were just having fun. And the police had no work, no hard taste on their hands. And even though persons on the other end may have been looking for disruption, none of that occurred. And I would also congratulate the Royal Barbados Police Force, because in all fairness, those men and women worked extremely hard around this time. So that is all I have to say. And Mr. Ellis, may God continue to shower the OB with showers of blessing. And may you all continue to do a job in a more professional way. Well, you always conduct yourself in a professional way, but I know this time it was a kind of hard, because you had to be careful what was said, you know, and repeated to that point. So you had to scrutinize every single individual that
called. Well, you know, we not only the individuals, but basically to take a line that would not legitimately put people in a position to say that you are there trying to promote a change of government. But at the same time, give expression, people the opportunity to express themselves in a way that you can get a sense of where the country is heading. What is the sentiment? So that all parties, doesn't matter whether you're B, D, S, B, whatever, all of the parties can get that appreciation of how people are feeling once they are using this particular medium. So thank you very much, ma'am. This person says, good morning, all. Now that the people of Barbados have spoken resoundingly, it is time for the people of Barbados to forgive, help each other to heal, and reunite as one in order to move the country forward. In all of us, there is work to be done. We have a new leader, and our first female leader at that, who has made history. Let them be servants of the people. Congratulations to her, her party, and team. May God continue to richly bless her, guide her, protect her, her administration, and this country. Let each of us rebuild this nation. Let each of us restore it. Let each of us hold a new administration accountable and responsible for their actions and words. The opportunity is here for us as citizens of this beautiful island to unite, to pray, and support the new Prime Minister, her cabinet, and the success of her administration. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This person says here, Mr. Ellis, good morning. This is the major rat in the DLP backyard, wishing to congratulate the BLP on their landslide victory. And good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you, Kevin?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine. I just want to call to say I want to congratulate the incoming Prime Minister, Ms. Mia Motley, and her team for doing a very good job last night. And I did not expect this, to be very honest. I knew it was trending towards a pretty big defeat, but I never would have thought that it would have been 30-0. So I want to make a reference to this. A relationship gone bad, right?
Yes.
You know, I'll be very honest with you as a man. You know, we men, and I don't want this to offend anybody, right? Especially female. But, you know, the ladies take a lot from us. And they keep on giving us chances after chances after chances, right, David?
Yes.
Until it comes a point when a lady says, you know what, when enough is enough, and no matter how much gifts and money you come bearing, when a lady makes up her mind that she is finished. And this is exactly what happened here.
But you know a lot of men, you know a lot of men did that in this election too.
Well, a lot of men did it, but I'll tell you where, I'll give you some examples where this administration made some serious blunders. You see that 10% restoration of salaries?
Yes.
That offended Barbadians, David.
I know.
You see the additional time the Prime Minister went over? That offended Barbadians, David. And the other thing that the biggest mistake I think the Prime Minister also made too, when he did decide to call the election, the date of when he called the election. When the Prime Minister called the election and it coincided with Heroes Day, and the Barbados Labour Party took that 37,000 plus to up the East Coast Road to celebrate, the momentum started from there and it continued throughout the election. Those were the blunders that the Democrats and especially Mr. Frendel Stewart. And people, David, I have never seen Barbados so fed up. And I have a small business, David, and I listen to people that come in my shop on a daily basis. And I heard, it became so open in Barbados to hear people openly discussing politics in the bank, in lines. People openly saying that this government has to go. It was so open, it was shocking to listen to people on a daily basis. I listen to people come in my shop, and you know what? And I don't want the BLP to also think that all this support was only BLP support. I listened to a lot of young people. When I asked them questions, are you voting? Of course, the answer was of course. And when I asked the reason, not only that they're voting out this government and they're voting for the BLP, that they were voting for their country. That I heard that over and over and over again. And I would say this once for the last. That tuition fee, that 20% tuition fees on the back of, and I don't want anybody to get offended again. When that tuition fee was imposed on the backs of poor black Barbadians, right, David, it made a major difference. And I'll say what I say. Middle and upper income people would always find money to get, and even middle income people are now struggling to find money to get their kids into UE. But eventually they would find money to get their kids into universities, right? But you know what? If poor people have to decide about paying a mortgage or paying rent or putting food on the table compared to going to university, you can just imagine which one they're going to do it first. I use an example of a family member of mine that has 4 children. And he might know who, when I say this, he might know who I'm referring to. I don't think he would mind now. But he's a farmer. He has 4 children, David. And he's also a black farmer, too. I'd like to say that, too. Those 4 children today, the last one he paid tuition fees for, that's the only one he had to. But today, those 4 children, you know what the professions of those 4 children? The first 3 are doctors. And the last one is an engineer. Now, that so-called free education has allowed us poor working class people that this administration like to always make mention of poor working class people, right? That has allowed us to have our children compete with the upper and middle and upper income people. But when that was taken away, it hurt a lot of people. It really did.
Well, I have some observations on it. I think that the worst part of that was how it was done. Because it was as if you woke up and virtually overnight, that decision was taken.
But
then,
David, could you imagine if David, that crossed you, but could you imagine if it was done under any other administration?
I understand that.
Just imagine.
I understand
the
that. But
what he said is that this party was a destroy.
Yes, that's correct.
But it was done under the Democratic Labour Party, and then we heard things like, it wasn't meant to be forever.
Just give me a break. Let me suggest to you that the replacement, the facilities to allow people to benefit from grants and that sort of thing, that was thought about after. So it didn't seem as though it was well thought out. But having said all of this, there's still lessons associated with this that we need to look at. And we have to recognize that a lot of people who are educated by the state have a responsibility to look beyond their own narrow interests when they're qualifying. That is, the state has been kind and good to you, and you have a responsibility to give back to the state in a way that some people do not. The other point is that whether we like it or not, we are going to have to make some kind of contribution to our own education. And this requires that we think out some kind of mechanisms and approaches that will cushion the impact of this on the people who need that assistance. So I think out of the negative, we can still emerge with some positive aspects associated with this thing. But people must realize, if there's one thing I hope it has done, is to draw to the attention of young Barbadians that the things that you enjoy and can take for granted can be taken from you just like that if this economy is not working well.
Can I make one more point?
Yes.
Now, I hope, you said earlier about integrity legislation, right?
Yes.
I also hope that something is done about the buying and selling of votes.
So you don't think something was done about it yesterday?
What was done about it?
You know that for all the buying and selling of votes that I heard about yesterday, the people rejected that as well.
It did.
People, they take your money, and then they do what they got to do anyhow.
But, David, let me tell you something. In my constituency, what I saw yesterday was ridiculous. It was rampant, and it is out of control, and it needs to come to an end, because eventually someone who has a deeper pocket could buy and sell this country, and it is out of control.
Well, I want to suggest...
My constituency,
yes, but I am saying to you that the experience of yesterday shows conclusively that money alone does not make the mayor fly.
I agree with you. They okay. Definitely did not.
We got to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. Down to brass tacks. A reminder that we are going to bring live coverage of the swearing-in of Mia Mottley as the next Prime Minister of Barbados around midday today. Hello?
Hi, morning, Dan. Hi, morning, David.
Hi.
I am so happy to be online right now. First of all, you've heard it many times. I wanted to say thank you to the entire Brascat family. That was excellent. I would admit I had the television on, had it on mute. The coverage from StarCon was so awesome. It is unbelievable. But as I said, you've heard this and you'll continue to hear this. I can imagine in your position, it must be quite rewarding to hear this on behalf of your team and yourself.
Of course. You recognize that once you're in the thick of it all, you don't know how it goes down. So I'm glad to hear that so many people enjoyed it. And we tried something a bit different this time around. We did try that last elections, but this time it worked better for us. And it just shows, where we can go with the coverage, both on air and online.
Right. And it's also a reflection of the engagement of the public, because whatever efforts you make, the success of it clearly in this instance was reflected based on the public engagement. So that's that.
And that's because public engagement prior to the actual election day.
Of course. That said, also wanted to say, forgive me, but there are many people like me that would be starting to get on here. This is overwhelming, this whole situation and how this thing turned out. Everyone still go collect myself, use the opportunity to say to the former Prime Minister, I felt last night listening at the season, that was awesome, the way he delivered his speech. I don't, like you, I heard you say on air, when we get bogged down with whether or not the new Prime Minister's name was mentioned. I think knowing the Prime Minister, observing how he operates, that was tasteful, well done, not surprising coming from him. Felt me and Motley did an excellent job as well going back the other way. And I think the whole situation there on their end, both of them was handled quite well
in the end. I thought so.
Right. I also wanted to comment. And I heard people calling in, they're talking about Charles Griffith and their respective representatives. This league is not mine. But I just, and this is something that obviously me and Motley and her team will decide. Let me put it out there first. But looking at Michael Lashley, David, and Chris Sinclair, and the seat in St. John, I don't want to focus on St. John because St. John didn't have an incumbent and George Stilton went quite late to contest, and Charles Griffith clearly was out there. But in the case of Michael Lashley, and I will leave Chris Sinclair because that's a shot beyond itself, but in the case of Michael Lashley, for Dr. Sonia Brown to unseat Michael Lashley, given what you, Pickerickham, and others in studio demonstrated, the margin and the stronghold there. And for Dr. Sonia Brown, who clearly is not a household name as an opponent compared to some of the other opponents that were going to be running, like Ralph Turner and those guys who are more publicly known, I felt that was really something that when you are going to select a cabinet, as I said earlier, that would be for the me and Martin and her team to be safe. But that lady, Dr. Sonia Brown, and St. Philip North Willis, is something removed from the political frame in terms of discussion. I live in Christchurch, so I don't have interest there, never have. But I just, from an observance standpoint, I felt that was really something. And even her last St. Lingo's first two boxes came in, how you guys reacted in studio.
Yes.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Because the size of the swing was significant, you see?
Yeah, but David, yes, the swing can carry a lot of people.
Well, I have people who were saying to me, for instance, they couldn't see how Chris Sinclair could lose. And I've long said, first of all, you get washing with the tide, you get washed with it. But there is something, he did a masterful job in giving an impression that he was far stronger than he really was. And I must say, I mean, I do, I have,
for you.
I must say to you that I think that he's got some political skills, but at the same time, I saw some weaknesses in the way that he handles some of these matters. I thought that he promised he promised too much and was able to deliver too little. And as a consequence, that shot him in the feet. But the other point I want to make is that I consider that overall there was a rejection of Mr. Stewart and an acceptance of Mia Motley. And that took with it people like Michael Lashley, Chris Sinclair, the whole of St. Michael, I mean, the country as a whole. What's your question?
No, let me just get this in because I told Dennis, I'm almost telling you, I'm going to make this quick. Two things quickly. This is a question for you and a comment I'll end with. Mm-hmm. Now, you say that Chris Sinclair probably felt he was stronger than he really was.
Yeah.
But on the localized level, I think Chris Sinclair, I don't know if you'll share the view, probably a skill strong, but that might be a bad thing given the result. But I think the things you mentioned may be more national and how Chris Sinclair was seen national and how he responded to the measures he as Minister of Finance had to take. That obviously traveled back into his constituency.
As they expected it would.
So I'll end on this. In the case now of the aforementioned Dr. Sonia Brown, congrats to her and her team, whoever they may be, because I still see that as a very significant thing. And to Hartley Henry and Mayor Motley, given that Hartley Henry was in the studio, so he can say this publicly, that was masterful because Mayor Motley said last night that he was part of her team since 2010. And to look at King Dredd, we going red, had no idea at that point that he was involved. To look at the situation and how this entire campaign was rolled out, given his experience, know that everybody knows publicly, even though that was speculated on in some quarters and known factually others, I must say that that entire thing from a competitive standpoint was well executed. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, David. Thank you, Brass Tacks. And that's it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
Well, you are one of the callers that people wanted to hear from today because, you know, you have had so much to say in the run-up to this election. What are you saying today?
What am I saying today? First, let me congratulate the new Prime Minister for a rousing election win last night. I know that they were going to get beat, David, but I thought at least they were going to hold on for one.
So why you didn't tell us that before?
As I said to you, and I keep on saying my thing, I supported Richard Seeley to the end, and I felt sorry for him last night because he's my representative, a personal friend. I felt sorry for Don Valinis and James Paul. He traded him. The rest I didn't worry about, David, because I don't know if you heard when it was in a conversation with Peter Wickham when I said the problem with the Democratic Labour Party is that they lack leadership. And what Mr. McLean said this morning, David, is exactly what I was saying. We need to have a new mandate. We need to clean house, David. I was one of the people who was there with Leroy McLean from 1974 in the Democratic Labour Party. I was a founding member of the Young Democrats. And I was still a member of the Democratic Labour Party all the time, David. But if you're doing foolishness, David, they can tell you you're doing foolishness. And I am glad that the slate has been cleaned like the blackboard at the school. And we have a lot, and there is a lot of young people within the Democratic Labour Party that I think what Leroy McLean said, and I believe in, that we can mold them.
You better go and get some young economists to join the party, because let me tell you, the Democratic Labour Party has now become synonymous with economic hard times, if not failure.
Well, and I believe, David, that in the search, we will find some. But the search is going to be long and it's going to be hard, right? And I, as a member of the Democratic Labour Party, will feel proud now again to walk in through the gates of the Democratic Labour Party.
You weren't feeling proud before that?
I was proud before that, right? But then after what I experienced under some members of the Democratic Labour Party, David Ellis, I felt shame to walk through the gate because those persons used to be inside the compound, and I didn't feel comfortable among their friends, in the surroundings among them, right? And I am glad, and I kissed the ground last night, that George Pilgrim get beat because they're unfair Leroy McLean, right? And I want to say that the Prime Minister, he pulled down the party and pulled down everybody with him. And I agree with Leroy McLean. Resign from the party. Take your bow out gracefully. There are some experienced people within the Democratic Labour Party that felt he could do nothing wrong. And them helped pull down the party. But I know we will find
that goes with the
people.
Office of Prime Minister, you know.
Yes.
When a person is appointed Prime Minister, people have a completely different image of what that person is capable of. They become stronger, you know.
You know, he said
all
something.
Powerful.
Every
decision or lack of decision is seen as strategy.
But he said something on the platform, David, up at the stadium when he said those mice have no balls. You remember that statement?
Yeah, I remember.
Right. Well, I'm going to say here now, the men that were behind him had no balls because they didn't want to challenge him. They didn't want to challenge him.
But isn't that consistent with prime ministerial power in countries like ours? I mean, the minute that you are made prime minister, you have the power to appoint and disappoint.
Also, the members of your cabinet has the power to vote you and move you if they think you are not doing the right thing.
Well, you know, to do that, look, I saw the Democratic Labour Party with a crisis in that regard. And it went back to how the DLP imploded under Mr. Sandiford. Anybody who has been associated with the Democratic Labour Party in recent times will recall what happened to people like Evelyn Graves and
Leroy Trotman,
Keith Simmons, and people like that.
Leroy Trotman and Wes Hall and those people.
Right, because they, after they were involved in the no confidence motion, it seemed as though they were never part of the Democratic Labour Party again. And the party suffered immensely. Beyond that, the party went on to treat the more mature members in what people saw as a kind of disdainful way at times. And the upshot of it all is that a body of maturity that the Democratic Labour Party needed and that these younger politicians could have done with was missing. You know, they came into a cabinet with David Thompson as the only person who had any governmental experience. And I think they paid a high price for his passing, and they paid a high price for their absence of experience. This is where people like a Keith Simmons might have been useful, or an Evelyn Graves. And as, because of the way that those people were distanced within the party.
The only body who were close to them was Bobby Morris.
Right. Because of that, this young brigade, nobody wanted to be accused of doing the same thing and suffering the same fate.
But you see, I want to say something. The young brigade that made up the Democratic Labour Party government don't know the true philosophy of the Democratic Labour Party that came
through
the
back door. What is that philosophy today? This thing about Barbados being a society, being more than an economy, it's a society. What does that really mean today? Because if you don't get your economy right, you ain't got no society either.
That is what I am
saying. Two of them work hand in hand.
But you see, Ellis, they came through the back door. You understand? I am not a person who would run for office, but if I had to run for office, I know, David, what is the groundwork that I have to do to keep me there. Errol Barrow said, to keep your seat and to be a proper politician or parliamentarian in this country, you have to stay with the people, know what you're about, and walk off four pairs of shoes.
Okay. We got to go. Thank you very much. There are a couple of people that on the chats. People are calling for. They want to hear the Trinidadian woman. They want to hear Rawl. They want to hear Arthur, as they call him. All these regular callers, Miss Undecided, where are you? They're calling for you. These people who have been calling the call-in programs consistently defending the Democratic Labour Party position, we don't want you to abandon your party today. Call us. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
You got Rawl here.
My goodness, boy. Bang on cue. Let me hear. Bombshell. You had a bombshell to drop before the elections. Boy, this bomb got dropped right in your backyard.
Congratulations to the Barbados Labour Party. Congratulations to Ms. Motley. And I'm wishing her sincerely all the best, and I'm wishing her well in her pursuit. Now, I want to start by making a quick observation of something that she would have done or said last night. And one of your callers, I think they refer to her as the captain, she made an observation of it too. When something was said relative to Mr. Stewart, somebody like they were like about heckling or saying something, she said, stop, cease and settle. Not in here.
That's what the Prime Minister should have done to some of them people who were talking that bad, behaving so badly on the platform.
Not in here. So that in itself, just using that slight thing, and she just put flesh on that and expanded on that as part of her theme.
What you call that?
You'll be amazed.
You know what you call that?
Go.
That's what you expect of leaders.
But
to set the right tone.
That you will be amazed how far she will go.
What happened, though? Tell me something, though. What happened to the Democratic Labour Party?
So that's
yesterday?
What I'm saying. Though. Just let me flow a bit. I know that we all still attack each other, but I'm going to get to that thing.
Okay.
The millennial question has got to be asked. What really went wrong? And the next thing, the variance in the number of votes cast shows that there was serious variance. So that says that something is, the electorate, they were very, very annoyed about something in the when you look at the ratio, the vote, how they voted.
But you don't know what they were upset about.
No, maybe Ms. Ellis, I don't want to speak for persons like, for instance, you had a lady that she would have indicated she was vexed about the St. Joseph's, St. Joseph, etc. And persons would have the concerns and whatever. And as time unfolds, you get them coming out and
but
saying,
you don't know.
Sorry?
You're suggesting to me that up to now you do not understand what the issues were.
No. I understand persons would have been saying things like the imposition of the NSRL and the imposition this and that. But pray tell me, these are strategies or things done by the government, and they would at the time deem them to be very necessary and right. But for another person, they might say, well, it is in a position we can't handle, et cetera, et cetera. So you can get a different view as regarded. But as I said, if I say it might be right, but for 10 people, it might be wrong. So things like that. And you don't worry. People will come out and say it. But the big thing is that there was this glaring, like, get rid of them. And when you look at the voting pattern, it would have to be something very, very deep.
You have to go and study this outcome some more, boy. You need to go and study it so that you could get a better understanding. Somebody just says to me here that what I said about Keith Simmons isn't true, that he managed and assisted one of the candidates. That's not the point that I'm making. He would have managed and assisted one of the candidates in this particular election. But in the immediate aftermath of what happened with the fall of the Sandiford administration, it is my perception that there was a distance and that the kind of role that we are talking about would have been much higher than just assisting a candidate. We're talking about having a greater role in the government itself. That's what I saw as missing in the immediate aftermath and in the administration post David Thompson. That's what I was suggesting to you. Down to brass tacks.